10% of WYXR's annual funding, $85,000, used to come from federal support. That funding is now gone. If you enjoy this archive, please make a donation, start a monthly gift, or add a few dollars to your current one. As public media faces an uncertain future, support from our Memphis community matters more than ever. Give now at WYXR.org. When you're feeling way down low, you got no place to go.
Can't call a lover, can't call no friend, can't find your soul in soul. Put your hand on the radio. Can you feel it down on your toes? Can you feel it? That's how it goes. Can you feel it? Lord only knows. Can you feel it? Put your hand on the radio. Woo! I'm down on my knees. I'm a begging you, please. Here come Tim Tees. No, 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 here come Tim
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center, just a stone's throw from the Oxford Square. Great show for y'all tonight. We've got Coyote Motel. Coyote Motel. Yeah, that sounds like a place out in Taylor, Mississippi, man. They got coyotes out there. They have a great new album out based on all river songs, including some songs about the Tallahatchie River. Can't wait to hear that. Candace Ivory is here, one of our favorite Memphis vocalists. Candace Ivory, brand new album out, New Southern Vintage is her album. She's going to play with the good old Yellow Bushwhackers. And Hannah Pittard is here, our novelist today. Hannah Pittard, yes. If you love it, let it kill you. It's a comedy. It's a great book. I just finished it this afternoon. We were talking about it. We'll be talking to Hannah. But we love our house band, y'all. It's been a long, hot summer without these guys. Let's bring them to the stage. Please welcome the Yellow Bushwhackers, boys.
Never treat me sweet and gentle the way that she should. I got it bad, that ain't good. My poor heart is sentimental, it's not made of wood. I got it bad, that ain't good. Like nobody should. I got it bad, that ain't good. Thank you. intentions. They tell me, save up my tears. I'm glad I'm mad. I'm bound. I just can't live without the Lord above. Make me love her the way that she should.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, y'all, our house band. Let them hear you. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, and up front, Paul Tate, the Yalla Bushwhackers, the best live radio band in the land, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, Candace Ivory is our first guest. Candace Ivory, her second visit to our show. I believe we had her booked previously, and there was a flood, some big rain between here in Memphis and St. Louis. But she is, the flood is very apropos because she also sings about rivers in the South. The new album, I believe it just dropped, New Southern Vintage. It's like, how old is it? Just a week? Whoa, it hasn't even come out yet. We're getting a sneak preview, y'all. This is great. Y'all, please welcome Candace Ivory.
We're gonna do a little Memphis mini tonight. Now you tell me, man, where you stayed last night. Coming home this morning, sun was shining bright. Trying to rule me, you can't rule me. You can't take my money, man, and rule me too. Yeah.
We're going to do a tune called Hoodoo Lady.
Hoodoo lady, how do you do? They tell me you take a boot and turn it to a brand new shoe. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. I'm going back to Tennessee. Hoodoo lady, you turn water into wine. I've been wondering where you've been all this time. I'm sitting here broke, and I ain't got a dime. You ought to put something in these dukes of mine. Don't put that thing on me. I'm going back to Tennessee. I want you to unlock my door so I can get in and get all my clothes. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. I'm going back to Tennessee. Look here, hoodoo lady, I want you to treat me right. Bring my man back home, don't let him stay out all night. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. I'm going back to Tennessee. Say one more thing. Hoodoo lady, you know I'm your friend, but when you leave town, come on back again. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing
Thank you.
Candace Ivory, y'all, let her hear you, please. Candace Ivory. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. As we mentioned, the album that is soon to drop, New Southern Vintage, it is from Blue Nola Records. What a great name for a record company. Blue Nola Records, New Southern Vintage. Her previous album, which she just played a couple of tunes from, is When the Levee Breaks, the Music of Memphis Minnie. And I can vouch for that record. It is not just a rehash of old tunes. She really updates it, and that album really rocks. It's a great one. Look forward to this new one. The first single is called Catfish Blues. Y'all can tell by these titles, Candace is one of us, y'all. Candace Ivory, y'all, one more time for her. Really great. Thank you, Candace. Very happy to have her on the show. Want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, the University of Mississippi, WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, the stations of Mississippi, Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama, Public Radio, WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. They have invited us to come out there and do the show live, so I don't know. Let's pass the hat and see. I understand it's located next to a brewery, oddly enough. Yeah, what could go wrong? All right. I also like to thank our sponsors, and it's the first show, so let's thank everyone we can possibly think of that. We really need all our sponsors, and we appreciate their help all through the years. Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the R&B Fader Foundation, Coopwood Publishing, Pearly Peacock Designs, Jackie Bailey, Benjamin Banahan and Susan Curlin, Dr. Lisa Chandler, Dr. John and Tammy Cook, Wayne and Weta Drinkwater, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Gondine Inlow, Don and Mary Ann Fruge, Neighborhood Realty, Farish Percy, and Grant Adams. Thank y'all so much. Tom and Carol Sharp, Douglas Vance, Kathy and Lester Williamson, the good folks at the Snooky and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. The Ink Spot, the Loft Foundation, Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Area Alliance, Party Waiting to Happen, the good folks at Red Panther Brewing, Southside Gallery, the good folks at Square Books, y'all, the mothership. Visit Mississippi, visit Oxford, Wonderbird Spirits, the good folks at Yaknapatawpha Arts Council, the aforementioned Red Panther Brewing, and of course, Bee's Barbecue. You too can be a Thacker backer. We kind of need you now more than ever. More info on how to do it at our website, ThackerMountain.com. Keon Love, playing an acoustic piano, ladies and gentlemen. No more electric. We've had enough of that stuff. Enough of that stuff. All right, Hannah Pittard is here. Her new novel, If You Love It, Let It Kill You, from Henry Holt Publishers. In the book, a novelist learns that an unflattering version of herself is about to appear prominently in her ex-husband's debut novel. A remarkably ridiculous midlife crisis ensues that includes, among other things, psilocybin truffles. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, a talking cat. Y'all please welcome Hannah Pittard.
Hi, Jim.
Hannah, thanks for being here. I think everybody was very happy until the talking cat came up. Let's go ahead and talk about the 2-pound feline in the room. Go ahead.
I think only you are unhappy with the talking cat. A lot of people, it's a litmus test. Most people love the talking cat. You don't like the talking cat.
How quickly they turn. You did it just right. I was reading along, and I was with it. I was with the characters. I was thinking, I'm really enjoying this book. And then the talking cat shows up, and we don't. And it's on a front flap. We're not spoilers or anything like that. So how did the decision? And you handled it very well. The cat is actually funny. Again, not giving away too much. It comes into the story, and you were very cool. You sort of. The cat's not in the story that much. So what was the decision there? I'm sure your editor said. Talking cat, what's up?
Okay, thank you, Jim. It's like keep your friends close and Jim closer. I'm really glad you finished the book today, and I was already in town.
I did not put a talking cat in my book, Hannah. You did.
That is correct. The talking cat is not around a lot, but I think, he's there enough to keep you wanting more, but... Honestly, I wrote a lot of this book on my front porch, and I'm lucky enough that I'm at a point in my career where I can have a certain amount of fun as a writer, and this was a fun book to write, and I don't have a cat. I am not a cat person. I am a dog person, but I also lack certain typical boundaries, and my neighbor has a cat, and I love this cat. I've just become really enamored with the cat. His name is Milo, but I call him Mino. So I've renamed the cat. I bought the cat a brush, and I got really committed and attached to this cat. And then I started writing this book. And there was one day where he came over to our front porch, for his typical midday brushes from me. And he sort of tried to get on my lap where my computer was. And I was like, no, Mino, you can't get up here right now. And Mino kept trying to get up and I kept pushing him off. And I looked down at him and he was making this face and I knew what he was saying. And I was like, well, listen right back at you. So I started having this conversation with him and then I started laughing. And so I just incorporated him into the text. And I thought, this is actually wonderful, because one of the things that I'm trying to do in this book is push back and flip on its face certain writing rules and tropes that over the past 20 years as a creative writing instructor, I've said, you can't do this, you can't do that. And of course, the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. It's literally called creative writing. But one of the first things, like one of my first classes as like a 29-year-old teacher, I was like, this has a talking cat in it. No talking cats. Cats can't talk. No talking, like no vampires, no nothing. If a person's dead, don't bring them back. And so the day that Milo was talking to me and I incorporated him in, I just thought, this is hilarious. And what a great way to have this cat be, like, the cat is mean. I think that's why you like the cat. The cat is mean, and he's especially mean to the narrator, and that cracked me up. And that's probably,
he is funny.
I won you over with
the
meanness. I mean,
you just talked about him more than he's in the book.
I'm just going to stay up here all night.
Hey, I'm with you. No, there are wonderful, funny characters in this book. I don't want to make it sound like it's this the cat thing. But in so-called real life, let's lay the foundation here. This thing really happened to you, where your ex-husband wrote a book about your marriage and described you, and you didn't come off so well in the book. And tell us a little bit about that.
IRL, in real life?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to help you with emojis and these things.
Good luck.
I know. I see it.
I'm still learning English, let alone,
yes,
emojis.
It is a true story that I wrote a memoir about my ex-husband's affair with my dear friend. And
who, in fact, introduced the two of you, right?
She did introduce us, yeah. Yes. But the best thing she ever did was have an affair with him, because it was a get-out-of-jail-free card. but I both had been anticipating and had not been anticipating the day when, one day he would finally publish a book, and he did. And I was very great. I was happy for him when I saw that he was had a book in production, because the majority of our marriage, he had been trying to publish a book, and he hadn't. And so anybody who is a struggling writer knows that the day you get your first publication is the best day in the world. Like, your sleep is better, you're kinder suddenly, like, rainbows are appearing everywhere. And so my very first thought was, oh, I'm so happy. And then my second thought was, WTF? because the synopsis of his book matched the synopsis of my memoir. And so my very first thought was actually that he had also written a memoir, but he hadn't. He had written a debut novel. And I very quickly went to this thing called Google on the internet.
I'm sorry?
Jim? Yeah. I'm going to show you later. I showed
it,
my dad.
We call it the Google.
The Google.
But go ahead.
Okay, the Googles. We went to the Googles. I went to the Googles, and I did something I had not done in 6 years. I Googled my ex-husband, and I was obviously looking for more news of this debut novel that seemed a lot like my life. And I didn't find anything, but I did find a short story that he had published about 3 years earlier. And in it, there's a person a lot like me and a person a lot like him. But at the end of the story, I get murdered by a homeless person. And I was like, son of a gun. that man murdered me, and I've been walking around for 3 years with no idea, dead. And I just cracked myself up thinking about this. And all day, anybody who would stop and talk to me, including the cat, I was like, guess what happened? 3 years ago, I was murdered by my ex-husband, and I had no idea. And finally, I think people were tired of hearing me say it, so I just started writing it. And it turned into the opening chapter of this book that I had no intention of writing. So thank you to my ex-husband for giving me the idea for this
yes,
book.
Yes, we're all very much indebted to him if he kicked off writing this. I have just another second left. I do want to say that you've got a lot of family members in the book, mom and dad, your sister, you have your best friend, and most of everybody lives on the same street, like your sister is across the street. Is that real life as well? Is everybody so close by?
Well, no one will admit that I'm the favorite in the family, but I will just say that I moved to Kentucky first, and then my mom moved there, and she lives a half mile away from me, and then my sister moved there, and she lives like literally across the street from me. And then my biological father moved there, and he lives a half mile in the opposite direction of my mother. So, I'm obviously the favorite. And B, yes, my family lives nearby.
Man. And in the novel, you have the nephews, your sister's boys. They love to jump out there on the front porch and relieve themselves.
Yes.
That sounds true to life to me. Because that's what porches are for. Am I right, guys?
It is true that the men in my family, and I will say that my boyfriend does not do this, but the men in my family never saw a porch that they did not want to unzip in front of. And, the closer the houses, the better. The backyard also, like, obviously nobody needs a bathroom. Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect. This is a very funny book, y'all. It also makes some serious points and has some serious conversations to make. But it is a fun read. If you love it, let it kill you. Y'all again, Hannah Pittard.
Thank you. I wouldn't have given him such a hard time, but he did say he liked the book and he was making fun of the cat. But we actually get along. We're friends. Okay, so I'm just going to read a little bit, but I'm going to try to read because I also like talking a lot. I'm going to read a little bit from the early parts of the book, and I'll try not to interrupt myself, and I won't take up too much time because these musical acts tonight are so good. All right, this is from If You Love It, Let It Kill You. It's March 1st. I'm home alone, watching my neighbor, the mathematician, haul his Christmas tree to the front yard. It's still got the colored lights wrapped around it. Last year, from inside our house, the blinds divided, I watched as the mathematician dropped his tree at the curb, bent down, then proceeded to dig through its branches like a man checking for lice. It was drizzling. After several minutes, he'd gone all the way down to his knees. He stood up, turned towards his house, and raised one hand high. He was holding an ornament. I told myself his wife was inside watching. Then I set down my binoculars and took a picture. He wasn't smiling. I own 3 sets of binoculars for a variety of reasons. Today, I am sitting on our front steps and I am brazenly observing him. It's 65 degrees and sunny. The clouds are caricatures of themselves. I take a picture when his back is turned and send it to my boyfriend. My boyfriend hearts the photo. I write, anything from grocery? He writes, bananas. I don't add them to the list. This year alone, we've already thrown away 17 bananas. I know this because I started keeping track immediately. I started keeping track immediately because I realized on New Year's morning, first thing when I woke up, that the banana situation in this house wasn't magically going to fix itself just because it was a new year. When my stepdaughter, the 11-year-old, asked for my resolution, I said, to track your father's banana waste. Her father, who was in the kitchen with us at the time, said, that's funny. I got out my phone, lifted the trash can's lid, and counted the bananas. I wrote down, bananas, 4. Then I shared the note with him. It's possible he's joking about the bananas today, but it's also possible he wants them and will be mildly annoyed when he gets home from teaching and finds I've ignored his request. Tone is so difficult via text. At the grocery store, a place I love, provided I park on street level and not in the garage, which is a place I'll never park, and therefore I can't say for sure that I'd still love the grocery store were I forced to park there, I watch as the man entering just in front of me grabs a cart and steers away from produce in the direction of dairy. I shiver. Then I text my best friend. Would you ever date a man who didn't start with produce first? She texts back immediately. I will never date another man. I text because you're married. She texts because I hate men. I send her a smiling turd. At the wet wall, which is what grocery employees call the wall of produce, which is a term I know because the non-traditional scholar called my student a non-traditional scholar, called the local Kroger to get the right lingo for a story she handed into workshop, I swipe from my grocery list over to Instagram. Margaret Atwood has posted a humorously ruined birthday cake. It's not her birthday. In the comments section, under hundreds of hearts and best wishes, I write, "What am I doing in this old man's body?" From Soul by David Ferry. I am desperate for Margaret to notice me. I switch back to my list, check off carrots and kale and green onions. All that's left is celery, which is how I got into trouble the last time I was here alone. All I needed was two stalks for a mirepoix. I snapped two off, threw them in a bag, and kept on shopping. I see there are other people who have had this situation with celery. An employee, some kid, was apparently spying on me when I did it. He ratted me out to his manager, who caught up with me in the sparkling water aisle. He pointed at my cart. "Is that yours?" he asked. Because I didn't yet know why or how I was in trouble, and not because I was playing deliberately obtuse, I said, "The cart?" He said, "The celery." I said, "The celery is mine in that I intend to buy it. Is this an existential question?" He said, "That's not allowed." I said, still not being willfully obtuse, "I'm not allowed to buy celery." He said, "You're not allowed to break off the stalks." I said, "I'm not?" He said, "No." I said, "But it's by the pound." He said, "There's a rubber band around it for a reason." I said, "There is?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Maybe you should have a sign." The manager regarded me mutely. I said, "I do it all the time with the bananas. Everybody does it with the bananas." He said, "Bananas are different." I said, now obviously developing a feel for my obtuseness, "They are?" He said, "Obviously." I said, "Bananas are by the pound." He said, "Please hand me that celery." I said, "But you're joking?" He said, "If you want celery, you can buy the whole bunch." Just when I was about to start laughing at the absurdity of the situation, whereby this manager figure was apparently intent on taking my two stalks of celery, I suddenly became very sad. And I think that I am officially out of time in 3 seconds. Y'all, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hannah Pittard, y'all. If you love it, let it kill you. Henry Holt Publishers. Hannah will join us after the show out at the table and sign your copy and that wacko friend of yours copy that you're going to give one to of If You Love It, Let It Kill You. Great job. Great reading. Great book. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Good job. I feel thoroughly chastised about my cat feelings. I'll get over it. All right, Coyote Motel. Speaking of cats, now we're going up to Coyotes. That's some sort of a progression. Coyote Motel, their latest album is also the soundtrack to a movie that they have produced. How about that? The film is called The River, A Songwriter's Stories of the South. And the film and the soundtrack explore the lives, loves, lores, and locales along the Cumberland, Mississippi, and Tallahatchie Rivers. Man, if y'all went down to the Tallahatchie to film some of this, I hope you took the old bug spray. Woo. All right, the film includes musical performances, storytelling, psychedelic light art, that's us, aerial dance, and cultural history. Previous albums by Coyote Motel include Still Among the Living, Learn to Love the Moon, and Coyote Motel. Man, I look forward to seeing this movie, but in the meantime, we get to hear some tunes from it. Y'all please welcome Coyote Motel.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can't even talk.
chamber. The breezes kiss the kudzu and the French ring roll. 4,000 miles. Jimmy Chihuahua, a little dog that highway. Whiskey and like rain. Hold down in Chihuahua. The breezes kiss the kudzu. And you can hear a freight train roll. Thank you so much. That's kind of my recollections of spending great times at Junior Kimbrough's place, just up in Holly Springs, and hanging out with my dear late friends R.L. Burnside and Junior and Jesse May Hemphill, who changed my life when I first started coming to Mississippi in the early 90s. Here's a song about a gentleman from Memphis. His name was Ernest Willis, and he spent 40 years of his life just about living underneath the Memphis, Arkansas bridge.
Someday I'll be gone.
This is the title track from my movie, The River of Songwriter Stories of the South. It's called The River, and if you're driving up Highway 7, it was inspired by that place where the old rusty railroad bridge is over on the side. There you go.
Yeah.
You know they black the sky. And that river, Lord, well, you know that river keeps on rolling by. And those spirits, you know they sing their song. Stop to listen, Lord, stop to listen, but remember, move along. Well, move along.
Thank you so much for having us. It's an honor to be on Thacker Mountain Radio.
Coyote Motel, y'all, one more time. One more time, please. Go ahead. Give us a whoop. Y'all know this theremin. Theremin. Yeah. Yeah. I'm taking that home. Yeah, I gotta have it. Oh yeah, I gotta have that. I can make good use of it, don't worry. Yeah, I need that. Okay, Coyote Motel, y'all, we appreciate them one more time. The great Candace Ivory. How about Candace Ivory? We thank her. And Hannah Pittard, y'all. Hannah Pittard, the beautiful book, If You Love It, Let It Kill You. All three of our guests have merchandise, have new albums and new book out front, so we're going to have a little visit out front, if y'all don't mind, a little happy hour, and thank all of them for being here and enjoy these books and the great music. You know, we don't take this stuff for granted. We've been doing this, I don't know, 136 years now. We do not take it for granted. How much fun is this to get together once a week and do this? It's fun. That's why we do it. All right, thank y'all for being here. We're going to do it again next week and the week after that. So how about that? We appreciate you. In the meantime, we will see you on the radio, boys.
Well, I weighed my heart down at your feet. I know my love for you complete. There's another way down the street. Hurry if you want my love. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Speaking of my heart, 'cause I won't wait or hesitate. Let my love go cold. I won't wait around for you till I'm gray and old. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Sweet kingdom of my heart. Now there are fellas that you knew. They make goo-goo eyes at you, but that that won't do, you better make sure. If you hurry, if you want my love, well, snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Speaking of my heart, 'cause I won't wait or hesitate. Let my love grow cold. I won't wait around for you till I'm gray and old. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Speaking of my heart.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Hesitate, let my love grow cold. I won't wait around for you till I'm gray. Oh, snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it. Speaking of my heart, oh, snatch it and grab it if you want it. Snatch it and grab it if you want it.
Support for WYXR, including our 2025 Dowd Awards, comes from Iris Etc. Catering. Chef Kelly English offers flavors from his childhood in southern Louisiana, catering weddings, private events, corporate luncheons, and more. More information can be found at irisetc.com.
Goody gang, this is Andre, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM.